In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This morning we hear this all-important question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And Christ gives him a very simple answer, this man who asked this question of Christ. Jesus responds, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Simple. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. But he doesn't quiz him. He doesn't say, what are the commandments? In fact, the man quizzes Jesus, right? But Jesus says, keep them. Don't memorize, you know, it's not enough just to memorize them, not just to know them, but you have to keep them and live them. And so then the man quizzes Jesus, which commandments? Which ones do I have to keep? And so Jesus gives him a list. He'll play along. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And the man says, done. I've kept all of these commandments from my youth. And who among us can say that? I certainly can't. I can tell you that from my youth, many passions have warred against me. From my youth, I have broken the commandments. And by God's grace, have had the opportunity to repent many times. Who among us can say I have kept the commandments from my youth? Especially when Christ sets a bit of a higher bar, he says, we have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you have lustful thoughts after a woman, you have committed adultery in your heart. Or if you have anger towards your brother, you are liable to judgment as if you had committed murder. That's a high bar to set. Who among us can keep those commandments of never having lustful thoughts, never being stirred up in anger, or any of these other passionate inclinations that we have? But I do think that this man was sincere in his desire for eternal life, and that he was sincere when he said, I have kept the commandments from my youth. Because if he was insincere, he would have stopped at that. But he presses Christ further. He wants eternal life. He desires it strongly. And he wants to know, what must I do? So he asks, what still do I lack? What am I still missing? And so Christ responds, if you would be perfect and have treasure in heaven, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. This man was crushed in that moment because he had wealth which he loved more than God. He went away sorrowful because he was unwilling to give up his wealth for the sake of God. Now we know, as Christians, that there are certain things that are incompatible with a life in God. And if we engage in those things, if we have those things, that makes us incompatible with God. Sin and holiness are always in conflict. And as long as we try to have both, we will not have peace. Saint Seraphim of Veritsa, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and wrote a book that we have in our bookstore. It's a little booklet called This Was From Me, about seeing God's hand even in difficult circumstances and being able to give thanks even in difficult circumstances. I highly recommend you check it out. If you just want to borrow it, let me know. I have a copy. But this same Saint Seraphim said, "There will come a time when corruption and lewdness among the youth will reach the utmost point. There will be hardly any virgin youth left. They will see their lack of punishment and think that everything is allowable for them to satisfy their desires. God will call them, however, and they will realize that it will not be possible for them to continue such a life. Then, in various ways, they will be led to God. This time will be beautiful." We seem to be in a similar time of permissiveness. I don't think he was necessarily talking about our time, but I think it applies. We live in a similar time of permissiveness in our society. We want God, but we also want the things that the world has to offer. But as the saying goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It just doesn't work. It's not possible to continue a life where we seek the things of this life and the next simultaneously, because they go in opposite directions. They come from opposite directions. They require us in opposite directions. And they are incompatible with each other. And so as we see this trend towards permissiveness, I encourage you to look for the beauty. Look where God is active in the lives of many of us, and not just our youth. See where God is calling his people home to him. Now we are about to receive in a few minutes, more than a few, we're about to receive the body and blood of Christ. And we must come prepared to do so. This is important. It's important that we approach the chalice having made a recent confession, so that we can clear ourselves of all of those incompatible desires, thoughts, words, and actions that we tend to fill ourselves with. The church also provides the services of Vespers on Saturday night and Orthros Sunday before liturgy. If you didn't know, we still do them. You can come and participate. The church provides these services so that we have the opportunity to prepare our hearts in prayer. And it's why we make a suitable bed in our body for Christ by fasting before coming to liturgy, so that we come prepared. And so, insofar as we're able, we make ourselves compatible to God and let him take the rest. We approach the chalice with purity of heart, not having this conflict of one foot in the world and one foot in the next, but wholly committed to Christ, with no conflict in us. But you see, the problem often can be that there are some sins that I am unwilling to say goodbye to. Some sins I like too much, and maybe even have convinced myself that they're not sins. or maybe they're sins, but just little ones. These ones I'll keep for myself. God can have the rest, but these ones I like. But when such a person draws near to Christ, like this young man that we heard about today in the gospel, when this person who holds on to something more dear than Christ, they are not left with the peace that Christ offers, but sorrow. Like a child with his fist stuck in the cookie jar, stuck because his fist is so full of cookies and he gets it caught on the neck, we have to let the cookies go so that we can extract our hand and have it back. So here's the important question. What is it that each of us is unwilling to give up for Christ? What is it that prevents us from setting aside some time every morning and evening for prayer? What is it that prevents us from having compassion for our neighbor rather than reacting in anger? What is it that prevents us from coming together as the body of Christ to pray, or maybe getting there late? What is it that prevents us from coming to confession or the chalice? I had a list. We can skip that. You know what it is for you, and if you don't, spend some time. Consider it. If you would be perfect, as Christ says, we need to let go of these things and have our treasure rather in heaven. Now, this word perfect is a scary word. At least to me it is. Perfection is a very high bar to set. And it's easy to say, well, I can't be perfect, so what's the point? I'm not even going to try. Or, I tried being perfect. Didn't work out. So I'm done with that. And if perfection is required, then like the disciples, we might ask, who then can be saved? And Christ responds to us and to his disciples, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Christ is the high bar to which we must measure ourselves, nothing less. The Christian life is the pursuit of perfection, not because I am capable of perfection in myself, but because the Christian life means it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. St. Paul reminds us in the epistle today of a summary of the gospel, short and sweet. This is the good news by which you are saved if you hold it fast. That Christ died for our sins, he was buried, rose on the third day, and appeared to many. Now this too is impossible. Resurrection from the dead. And yet God accomplished it for our sake so that we might rise with him and have new life in him. So go and be perfect. Let go of those things which have come between you and God through the grace and mercy of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.